It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to another week of the PowerMizzou.com podcast, the final episode before Recruiting Christmas, National Signing Day 2015. Next Wednesday, February 4th, the one day a year that a fax machine is still relevant in the United States of America. We are going to set the scene for Mizzou's class toward the end of this podcast. But first, we want to get a little bit specific, and we're going to have a couple of coaches who are awfully familiar with a couple of these kids who are going to sign with Missouri next Wednesday. We're going to start up in North Kansas City with Winnetonka head coach Sterling Edwards, coach Marquise Doherty at Winnetonka for quite a few years. Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Appreciate you spending some time. And I wanted to let you know that I am a 1994 graduate of Park Hill, so I'm always glad to see people from up in that area coming down to Missouri. Had a lot of friends that went to Winnetonka.
Very good. Very good. Always good to hear.
All right. Now, I want to start with Marquise. And the first question, was he a better football player or a better baseball player in his days at Winnetonka?
Well, and I'm not a baseball expert, so I don't know a whole lot about baseball, but when I would show up to watch a baseball game, it seems like I always saw a home run out of the deal or something that I hadn't seen on a high school baseball field in a long time. So he's a pretty special baseball player. I do know a lot about his football excellence, and he was a special kid on the football field as I've coached in my 18 years of coaching.
Yeah, now Marquise played a lot of running back for you, and I know that he played both ways. Not sure at this point where he will be at Missouri. I'm not sure if you know that, but just kind of your take on coaching him. What do you think his best position is?
You know, I think Marquise is capable of doing whatever he sets his mind to. I think if we put a gun to his head and said pick a position, I think every kid in his shoes would want to have the ball in his hands and be on the offensive side. But at the same time, he's such a quality kid and understands the big picture. And I think he'll figure out where he has the best chance to help the team and best chance to get on the field the fastest. And I think that's the route he'd go. I think a lot of schools had him pegged as a defensive guy. That might be where, in the end, he has the most upside down the road. But like I said, he's got the speed and the size to do just about whatever he wants to do.
Now, I know a lot of kids, you know, we do the best we can keeping up with offers and who's really interested and all that. I know Marquise, we've got him listed with 10, 12 offers. I know Oregon was in it to the end. Were there even more schools than we knew who probably came and checked Marquise out throughout the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think the list of offers you have is probably a little low, and I think baseball always had a big issue on that because he kind of made it clear from the beginning that if he wanted to play both in college, that might have scared a few schools away that wanted him to specialize. But yeah, I mean, there was obviously a lot of interest. He got his offer from Missouri when he was a sophomore, and then everything just kind of snowballed from there. So yeah, he got a lot of interest, as much interest as we've had at our school for sure.
Now, when you do what we do, you know, people like to assess 40 times and everything on the field. What I always say we can never know is what a kid's like outside of football, you know, what kind of drive he has, what kind of work ethic he has, things like that. Off the field, what kind of kid is Marquise Doherty?
Yeah, he's a really, really quality kid, and he's a great student. He's in our gifted program here at Winnetonka. He's a 27 ACT. He only had to take the ACT once, which very few of us are able to get away with that. And, you know, it does a great job in the classroom. He's a great person. You know, I hear lots of comments from people that do interviews with him and things like that, that, man, he's as polished as any kid that we've had as a high school kid, and same way with the recruiters, we're always impressed. He's a quality kid. I have no doubts that he's going to go on to do great things, not just on the field, whether it's baseball or football, but he's going to be a great contributor in his community.
We're talking with Sterling Edwards, head coach at Winnetonka High School. And coach, I want your take on, you know, obviously Gary Pinkel and his staff have recruited the state of Missouri for a long time. I don't know how often they've been in your school in previous years before Marquise came along, but just your impressions of the job that Coach Pinkel and his staff do, not only recruiting Marquise, but just over the years.
Well, it, and you know, it came down with, with Marquise to them in Oregon. I was just so impressed with both schools and the coaches that came in and how they handled the process and how they, you know, treated Marquise really, really well and took care of him and had his best interest at heart the whole time. You know, Coach Pinkel does a great job. Andy Hills, I've known Andy for a long time, and he's just a great guy, and I don't know that there could be a better person in that role for the University of Missouri. You know, they do a first-class job and really done a great job with our kids. We've had Marquise is our second Division I kid. Before that, it had been 1984 since we'd had a Division I kid at Winnetonka. So the halls of Winnetonka have not had a whole lot of Division I coaches rolling through, and so it's been nice to have those guys coming through the last couple of years.
You know, fans are always big on, and I know a lot of people around Missouri talk about sealing the borders, keeping in-state kids at Missouri. From a high school coach's perspective, is that a big deal when not only are your kids going Division I, but they're doing it, you know, in-state at the local university, not only where obviously their friends and family can see them play, but, you know, maybe raising the profile of their school in the state?
I think it's really important that the home school kid, the home state kids have a chance to go be recruited by their home school. And if that's something that they're interested in, definitely to have that opportunity. I'm a Missouri fan. I went to Missouri. But at the same time, when I have a kid like Marquise, I try not to let my bias towards the school influence that. I intentionally tried to, for Marquise's sake, tried to stay unbiased to help him make decisions and not do what's best for Missouri or do what I want him to do, but do what's best for Marquise. But, yeah, I think it's really important that if that's what the kids want to do, if they want to stay close to home, if they want to have that opportunity for the home school to do a great job of recruiting them.
Coach, just two or three more here for you. With Marquise Doherty, I'm going to assume he played a lot of varsity football for at least 3 and maybe 4 years, but is there one play, one game, one memory that stands out in your days coaching him?
Oh, there's lots of individual plays. He just made a lot of great plays, and you don't get to the level he is without making a lot of great plays. He was a great player for us for 3 years. He actually transferred to us after his freshman year from Rockhurst. So I became a lot smarter coach the day he started walking the halls of Winnetonka. But you know, probably the best win for us this year was our Kearney game, and Marquise played a big role in that, even though he was coming off an injury, and just tough through it and helped us come back and win that game, made some plays on defense, even though he hadn't been playing much defense because of his injury. So that was a game that I was really proud of him and proud of our team.
Wanted your take on one of the guys you actually played against this year. You guys went 8-3, lost to Fort Osage in the district championship. And what is your take coaching against Skylar Thompson, who is one of the names people are already hearing for next year in the state of Missouri?
Yeah, he's a very, very talented kid. I'm shocked that he doesn't have the offers, and maybe he does by now, but the last time I checked, he didn't have the offers because he looks the part. By all counts that I've heard, he's a great character kid and great kid, and we saw him. They were the school that knocked us out, so I saw just about every game of theirs on film, and the kid can play, and he extended a lot of plays with his legs and made a lot of great throws, and I was very impressed with him.
And I would be remiss if I didn't ask. We've got, you know, recruiting. You know this better than I do. It starts earlier and earlier every year, and one of the kids that's already making a name for himself was a sophomore this year at your school, Jumon Colbert, cornerback. He's already got an offer listed from Iowa and plenty of interest. What's the ceiling for that kid?
The ceiling is really high. Maybe as high as it was for Marquise. He's a big kid. He plays corner for us. I'm not sure. He may grow too big to play that even for us. He'll probably might move to a safety. And then I think at the next level, a lot of schools are already talking about if he keeps growing, get a little closer to the football. But he's a great athlete. He definitely passes the eyeball test. He's benefited from coaches coming through and talking to Marquise and that kind of thing. But Jaimon is going to be a really good football player for us and does a lot of great things. Another great kid, We've been pretty fortunate that our high-profile kids have also just been quality kids, quality students.
Last thing for you, Coach. What are your guys' plans next next Wednesday at Winnetonka? You know, you having a big ceremony and all that for Marquise?
We are. We'll do a signing ceremony in the middle of the day in our auditorium and try to make a big deal, because it is a big deal for our school, not just for Marquise, but it's a big deal for our school and our program. So we're going to try to make it as big a thing as we can.
All right, Coach Edwards, I really appreciate it, and hope Winnetonka keeps doing well here the next few years up there.
I appreciate it, Gabe. Thanks.
All right, have a good day. Sterling Edwards, head coach from Winnetonka High School in Kansas City, head coach of Marquise Doherty, who will be coming to Missouri. Most people think, you know, that he is probably going to be a safety, I think, at the University of Missouri. But you heard Coach Edwards say there, hey, you know, he's a kid that does well with the ball in his hands. He could play any number of positions, including obviously the outfield. You know, the Major League Baseball draft, I think, will be something to watch. You know, I didn't think that was anything we needed to get into with Coach Edwards, because the next week is about Marquise Doherty signing to play football. But that will be something to watch down the road, where he might get picked and how that could impact his future. But I think all indications are that he will be playing football and baseball at the University of Missouri, and he'll be signing next Wednesday. We're going to continue looking at Missouri's 2015 class. We're going to head a little bit south to Dublin, Georgia. We're going to talk to Stacy Nobles, head coach of Justin Smith, a 6'7" wide receiver who committed to Missouri not too long ago. Coach, appreciate you taking some time today.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. Glad to be on to talk about a really fine young man.
I got to ask you, because we see these things listed, you know, 6'7", that's legit for Justin Smith. He's really that big.
Yeah, he's every bit of 6'7". I remember when we did his physical this past spring, he's actually more towards the 6'8" side. I mean, he's a big old pretty specimen, man. But he's every bit of 6'7" and then some.
Now, is he a kid, I mean, straight wide receiver, or is this a kid who could put on some weight and be like a tight end type of guy at the next level?
I really think he's a pure wide receiver, man. I mean, he's 6'7", 200 pounds. You know, if he gets up to 225, 230, he's going to be scary out on the outside. I mean, he runs so well, his vertical ability, he's such a good athlete. You know, the most impressive stat about Justin that a lot of people can't believe, and I'd have a hard time believing if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, is the kid power cleans 300 pounds. You know, anybody that knows anything about power clean, that's a lot of weight for a kid his size to bring from the floor to his chest. And he's just got such explosive power. He's got, you know, his ceiling in football is so high because he hadn't put a whole lot of time into it. You know, football's always been kind of on the back burner to him until this past season.
I know he did play a lot of basketball and was looked at a little bit in that sport too. As far as football goes, exactly why did he, do you think, he flew kind of so much under the radar, and a lot of coaches either didn't come in on him or maybe just didn't know about him?
Well, he's a kid that he's been on the AAU circuit basketball-wise for since he was, you know, probably in the eighth grade, seventh grade. And he's played with these big-time AAU programs in Atlanta. And, you know, like I said, football's always kind of been his second sport. You know, he has put no time into it at all. He's been to no showcases, nothing in the summer football-wise. You know, he was invited to the invitation-only Rivals Under Armour deal last year over in Alabama, and he didn't get to go because he was playing AAU basketball. So, you know, I think that's the main reason that, you know, he's been on people's radar. I remember Clemson was in here his freshman year, and they already had him on the radar. But I think a lot of people felt like that he was going to choose basketball, and he's got some offers basketball-wise. But, you know, we've kind of told him all along, you know, I encourage kids to do both or do as many sports as they can. And I just didn't want him to put all his eggs in one basket. You know, he started for us as a freshman, a wide receiver. He didn't play a sophomore year. You know, he just focused on basketball. Came back out his junior year. It took him half the year to, you know, to really figure out, you know, how to play football again. By the end of his junior year, you know, we saw how dominant he could be. And, you know, he almost didn't end up with us this year. You know, he was his AAU coach just by had him convinced to go to a prep school in Virginia to just focus on basketball, which was, you know, praise the Lord that didn't happen, because he had a breakout year for us this year. He grew up a lot, and he, and that's what I tell people, you know. And I told the staff that was in here from Missouri the other day, when he, now I think he could be scary good when he puts his, puts the time. Now he realizes football is his ticket. I think he can be scary good if, once he sails out to that sport, because he's like I said, he's really done nothing to make himself a better football player.
Had over 1,000 yards receiving. If the stats I'm looking at are right, he had about half your team's total receiving yards, 13 to the 19 touchdowns. You see a guy that's 6'7", and the impression is, man, that's a guy a quarterback wants to throw to in the red zone. Do you think that's his best? What's his best attribute as a receiver?
Well, his stats this year were all the more impressive when you look at, about halfway, really about game three or four. He spent the majority of the night double covered. So he did a lot of things. When they were, they'd have safety help over the top. Very few teams, after they realized what he was capable of doing, left him single coverage. So he made some big time plays for us this year in double coverage, and he won some games for us because he could climb the ladder, and people just couldn't get up and defend with him. But I think his most impressive skill again is his athletic ability. A lot of his yards this year were on little screen passes that we threw to him, and he'd make the first guy miss. And we even handed the ball to him on the jet sweep. The kid's got a, God-given ability running out of his ears. A kid that big, you don't typically think he'd get the ball in a jet sweep, but, we handed it to him twice this year, and he scored on the one time, made about four people miss. He's a scary good athlete with a really, really high ceiling in football.
Talking with Stacy Nobles, the head coach of West Lawrence High School in Georgia. And, Coach, I want to get your impression. Obviously, Missouri is a fairly new player on the recruiting scene down in your area of the country. Just kind of your impressions of Gary Pinkel and his staff and the job they did, not just recruiting Justin, but are, trying to do, making inroads down in that area.
Yeah, I think they're doing an awesome job. Before I came to West Lawrence, I was at Bleckley County High School, and Coach Tavon Ross, who was there, who they got from Bleckley County High School last year. And I thought that was a great steal for them because, Tavon, I knew, coaching him as a freshman, how athletic he was going to be. And, just from my brief experiences with Missouri, they really come across that they care about these kids and that they want them to develop. And, I'm really excited. I think, as far as, their roads, there's a lot of good athletes down here in Georgia. So I think they're doing a great job down here. They've gotten two, the last couple of years that I think are going to end up being superstars. In Justin's case, I think a lot of people are going to look back in a couple of years and say, wow, how did we let this kid, slip by us? And I think Missouri's got themselves a fine one in Justin.
I want to ask you one more question I ask every coach I talk to, because we can see athletic ability, we can see kids on film, we can see them run. But I'll go ahead and ask you about Justin and about Tavon, since you do know him a little bit. Off the field, what kind of kids are these guys?
Well, Tavon, I've been really impressed from what I've heard about him. Tavon was, like I said, only coached him that one year, but, I kept up with him through high school and got really close with him as a freshman. I was a strength coach over there, so I worked with him in the weight room. I knew he had all the athletic ability in the world, but it sounds like to me that from the, talking with the coaches up there in Missouri, that he's really grown up over this past year. And that was the only question mark I had with Tavon. His athletic ability I knew was SEC quality. And, he gets his head right with that. I think he's going to be a big-time player and a great steal for Missouri. So, and then Justin, Justin's a great kid. He doesn't come from a whole lot, but he's never in trouble. He works hard. Like I said, his ability in the weight room and how he gets after it. And he grew up a lot this year on the field. He was one of those kids early on in his career. Nothing was his fault. He kind of hard to work with. But then over this past season, he was one of our best leaders. He was voted by captain by our team. He's just motivating kids, encouraging them, taking responsibility. So he's a great kid. I think he realizes that, football is a chance for him to make something of his life. And I think he's going to do exactly what he needs to do. Like I said, he's got a lot to learn football-wise, but his athletic ability and his strength level, I think could get him on the field quick, you know, if he can catch on to the system and as he gets in and just focuses on football, I think the sky's the limit for the kid.
All right. Well, Coach, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk to us and letting us get to know a little bit about Justin, and good luck down the road.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Have a good day. Coach Stacy Nobles, West Laurens High School down in Georgia. Justin Smith, one of the more unknown kids in this class, 6'7", 200 pounds, 4.58. We'll see, man. I mean, they're big numbers, big measurables, and obviously a lot of excitement to see what that kid might turn into. And I did not know until that interview that Stacy Nobles also knew Tavon Ross, who was obviously a pretty celebrated signee for Missouri out of the state of Georgia last year. Wanted to let you get to know a little bit about a couple kids that Missouri is going to sign next Wednesday. We know right now, at least as it stands right now, there will be at least 21 signees in this class next week. Brandon Martin, still kind of up in the air. Wide receiver from Prime Prep Academy in Dallas, Texas. Did commit to Missouri last weekend on an official visit and now is going to visit LSU in Miami, and we'll see what happens with Brandon Martin. Hey, this time of year, these last 7 days before signing day, 6 days now before signing day, kids are flipping all over the place, you know, changing their minds. More options come in because some teams miss out on guys, offer other guys. So always a lot to follow along with this week, and Brandon Martin certainly one of those situations for the Missouri Tigers. Other situations that we're waiting to see what's going to happen. Quarte Sapp, a linebacker out of Georgia, he committed to Tennessee at about 11:30 this morning. Was not a surprise, picked Tennessee over Michigan State and Missouri. However, Quarte Sapp is still scheduled to be on an official visit to Missouri starting tomorrow. Now listen, things can change in the next 24 hours. By the time you guys listen to this, we may have news that Quarte Sapp has canceled his visit to Missouri. But as of right now, everything we understand, that visit is on, and Missouri's going to have about 48 hours to impress the kid and flip him from Tennessee. Going to be tough to do, but you never can tell what's going to happen. Outside of that, Terry Beckner Jr., priority target, no doubt. Missouri has another in-home visit with him tonight. He will be on his official visit to Mizzou this weekend. It is Missouri, Ohio State, Florida State, and kind of on the periphery, the Auburn Tigers also in this one. Beckner did take a visit to Auburn, but depends on who you talk to. It's my opinion it's Missouri and Ohio State. A lot of people seem to think Missouri and Florida State. Either way, Missouri is in it. The announcement is going to be made at 9:45 Wednesday morning at East St. Louis High School. Brian Austin will be there for us. We are hoping to stream that announcement live, but that is always a wait-and-see proposition. One way or another, we will certainly be there at Terry Beckner Jr.'s announcement and see where he's going to go to school. Number 36 player in the country and a kid that could bump Missouri up two or three spots in the team rankings with ease. The other wait-and-see situation, Nate Howard, defensive end from Ladue Horton Watkins, has been committed to Wisconsin for quite a while. Missouri has really made a push. Illinois is mentioned, but I think this comes down to Missouri and Wisconsin. Missouri also has an in-home visit with Nate Howard today. Was going to make an announcement on Tuesday. He visited Missouri last weekend, was going to announce where he was going to school on Tuesday. That did not happen. That's been delayed. Again, Missouri coaches in-house tonight. Syracuse, another team involved here. But again, I think it's probably Missouri or Wisconsin. We don't know if that announcement comes tonight, tomorrow, all the way till Wednesday. We've got to wait and see. Ideal for this Missouri class. They add Beckner, they add Howard, they add Terez Hall, probably maybe Quarte Sapp at linebacker, one of those two. I think that is the ideal finish for Missouri. Then could they add one more? Maybe if they can make the numbers work right. Maybe they add another defensive tackle. DaQuan Hawkins is visiting this weekend. Maybe they just take an athlete. Maybe they get a late surprise. Somebody they didn't think was going to flip to him flips to him. No more than five more guys in this class, and probably four. But I would say three is the target number. And then if you get over that, it can work. You can always make it work, but it does get a little bit trickier as far as how it's going to go. So I want to set the scene for next Wednesday, and we'll have a lot of this on the site over the next few days. But for people listening, as I said, Brian Austin's going to be out at East St. Louis High School with Terry Beckner Jr. if he is able on his way back to Columbia to stop by a couple other schools and talk to kids or cover signing ceremonies. He certainly will do that. Pete Scantlebury is going to be in Kansas City. Drew Locke is going to be signing. Marquise Doherty, A.J. Harris is going to be signing. We're going to have Randy Withers out there. Chase Abington down at Hutchinson Community College. These are all kids we love to get to their ceremonies. It just kind of depends as far as what the timing is. Missouri will have their press conference usually mid to late afternoon back in Columbia. So obviously it's all hands on deck in Columbia by 3 or 4 o'clock in the day for us. So we're kind of at the mercy of these schools when they schedule announcements. If they schedule something at 2:30, we can't be there. If they do it at 10 o'clock in the morning, we can. We will certainly hit as many of them as we can. Video, interviews, analysis throughout the day. We'll have a live blog. We'll have our Signing Day Central page with everything happening. And at least one announcement on National Signing Day that we're not going to know until then. Could be more. We'll have to wait and see. But biggest day of the year in recruiting, 6 days away. We will be back next Thursday on the podcast to kind of wrap things up. What happened with Missouri on signing day? We'll talk to Brian and Pete next week, get their takes, maybe grab a couple other high school coaches or kids or some comments from the Missouri staff. That's all kind of wait and see after we find out what happens next Wednesday. But we'll be back here a week from today. Thanks for listening.